Nerd Soul.
Yeah, late LK at one, y'all. So holding it down, bring that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today, oh yeah, coming with another wonderful episode of Dope Folks. We've had cool people ride through here and chill, hang with us, tell us about their stories, their lives, what they're working on, all that greatness. And today we have another special guest, hailing way from KC Mo, as some people would call it. Ari Monroe, what's up? Ari Monroe, what's up?
How you doing?
Chilling, you know, staying real. You know, I'm trying to keep my head up.
Thank you for living
in this corona timeline.
Yeah, how do you feel about that whole thing?
I'm all right. I'm making it. You know, I'm living. Living just enough for the city. So, to introduce yourself, tell people a little bit about what you do and how you do it.
Okay, well, as you said before, my name is Ari Monroe. I am a caricature artist and a cartoonist, as well as I've studied animation and I've been doing comics now. All of these things now for close to 20 years.
Word up. So, I'll fly through, your Instagram info and see if we can get to know you a little bit more.
Okay.
So, Kansas City native.
Yes.
When it comes to your art, how has, if at all, Kansas City influenced your art or your style?
Okay, so I can just tell you a little bit about my character. Her name is Maya Nasha, and the story is called Tornado Alley, but there's like a couple of things with the story. It's like twofold. So there's a second story with her, not as like a child looking character, but more as an adult looking character. And that one's called Quiet Storm. And so it's called Tornado Alley because it's based around the idea that she lives in the Midwest and that she's not from Kansas. She's from Missouri. So that's how it kind of plays in. Like on the cover of my, not on the, some of the pinups and the artwork that I've done, like I do a version of her as Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. And she's like, lost in Oz and wandering through this landscape where the Emerald City is Kansas City.
What up?
So I kind of try to put like different aspects of my life into my work in some way, shape, and that's kind of how it influences things.
All right. Now you're working on a piece right now that we're looking at. How did you start this piece? Why did you start this particular piece? And who is it for, if it's a you know, commission or whatever?
This, like, one of the goals that I set for myself, because I hadn't really been doing so much, a lot of my work ends up going towards doing caricatures. So one of the goals I set for myself was to be able to focus a lot more on my personal work and creating comics that not only reflect who I am, but that hopefully other people can enjoy as well. So one of the things I started doing was I needed to draw stuff.
Makes sense.
I'm going towards doing caricatures and running my small caricature business. So I've been putting out a lot more effort to do a lot more doodles in my sketchbook. Like this was actually a doodle in my sketchbook, and to bring them to fully rendered finished pieces of artwork.
Nice. In your profile, you say, you know, caricature artist, illustrator, cartoonist, animator. You do those all, and I've seen, you know, I've been following you for a while. I can't remember where we met. Maybe it was at a show somewhere. But anyway, since you do all of these, and there is a through line, what is similar about those different disciplines and what's starkly different for you?
You mean doing caricatures as well as like doing animation and stuff and comics?
Yeah, as opposed to say like cartooning, as opposed to animating, as opposed to caricature.
Animation, comics, and caricature all are basically recreations of the world and the life around a person. The only difference between it is animation moves. It's still a storytelling medium, however. And with doing caricatures, it's more like, to me, it's like live gesture drawing of the face. Okay. So I'm spending a lot of time with those, drawing people really quickly and like recreating a world for them instead in like these small bursts. So like if a person wants to get their picture drawn, I still kind of feel like I'm drawing a comic. Like I'll just draw their face really quickly, and it's important for me to capture their facial expression, which tends to be really important in all of my work, like the character's expressions and body language. So to me, it also lends itself back to doing comics and animation, because my comic character is actually pretty, she's pretty expressive. I actually have one of my comics here that I...
Dope. All right, cool.
And published, and I can tell you, like, what I mean by expressive.
Yeah.
So, like, she goes through a range of emotions on a regular basis. And so, when I'm drawing comics, and that also feeds into the caricature side of thing too, because I don't capture necessarily exaggeration of facial features, but more exaggeration of facial expressions and trying to capture the person's personality within the drawing, and that's what I get. Yeah.
Now,
My intention isn't to insult them, but to give them something that they relate to and that will make them smile, and that when other people look at it, they go, that's my friend so-and-so. So, that's my goal. But
that's what's up.
Like I said, caricature is what I give to other people, and my comics are what I give to myself.
Nice. I'm going to have to get a caricature there. I'm going to have to get one of those soon, very soon. If you're open for caricatures, if you're open, I don't know if the shop is closed, because I know some artists that are like, look, I ain't doing no commissions for the rest of the year. I know, so, but if
well, I'm open right possible. Now because of the circumstances that we're in. I usually do all of my work live at comic book shows, conventions, festivals, and at parties and events. But all of my events and stuff have been canceled. Like usually I would be traveling right now. Like I would probably I would have been in Iowa last week, for example, you know, and be getting ready to go to another show this weekend. Like on average, I'm traveling on the weekends between like April and October to different conventions and events. And I'm
con season is done during the corona timeline.
Right. Yeah. So I actually switched everything over to drawing people's stuff on Facebook. So I've been doing Facebook caricatures live every afternoon from like 3 to 5, and people just send me a drawing and I just sit down and draw them. Or if they want to do it live, they can sit and watch and I'll draw them, like, you know, while they're watching me.
Word up. So I wanted to follow through to something that I thought was quite interesting. Two phrases, one, cleavage master, and big booty expert. If you could expand on that, if you would.
Someone's always got something to say about that.
You put it in. It's on your profile. I know. I see you draw big booties.
Funny.
I see you draw cleavage. But if you could, for those that have just met you, I'm very interested to hear you dive into this one.
I was just being funny, but it also alludes to my body type, because I have large boobs, so I call myself cleavage master sometimes. And then I have a comic called Big Booty Jane that I've been working on for a little while.
Okay.
And it's about a woman who has a bionic sack. Oh, sorry, I don't know if I could say that on TV.
We keep it all ages here.
I'm sorry, she has a bionic bottom.
Buttocks.
So, like, she can use her butt cheeks to do, like, super moves and fight people and, like, kind of like the bionic woman, but all the power is in her rear, so.
In the rotund.
Yeah, so she fights crime as, like, a space cop and beats people up.
Nice.
But yeah, so I'm not focusing on that one nearly as much as I'm focusing on Tornado Alley right now.
Understood. All right, so on the kind of if you could take us back to kind of early on when you first found out, like, oh, I can draw, like, what was it like? Where were you, you know, like, really small? Were you in high school? Were you, you know, college? You know, what was it like? What were you drawing at the time? And, you know, what kind of influenced you?
Okay, well, I decided I wanted to be an artist when I was 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much made up my mind, like, immediately and was like, that's what I'm gonna do. And my biggest inspiration was Tiny Toon Adventures.
Nice.
And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles TV show and The Little Mermaid. So, like, I've always loved animation. I wanted to be a Disney animator when I was growing up. And I actually had the opportunity to mentor with a Disney animator later in my career as I was learning and trying to get myself off the ground. You know, going through all those little things that you go through in the beginning of your art life. So growing up, basically, I just drew a lot, and it's just a part of, I guess, who I am now. Like, I don't really know what to do with myself. I always tell people, like, like, I have friends who are like, Ari, you know, it's the coronavirus, you need to get a job. And I'm like, I can't work like regular people. Normal.
And I mean, you do have one. You know what I'm saying? You're working on your stuff right now. You do have one.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I worked for other people a lot during my life. And, you know, I've had the crap jobs and then I've had the bigger jobs. For a long time, I was at Universal Studios for 2 years working as a caricature artist out there. And I just felt like disposable. Like, I worked a little bit in animation, and I was a freelancer for a short amount of time, and I felt disposable there. And I wasn't just disposable, I was working my butt off. Like, like, I was working
hour
days, and sometimes coming home and putting in an additional, you know, 4 to 6 more hours drawing commissions, and falling asleep in my drawing desk every night and then waking up to do it again the next day. And so I was like, I felt like I was running myself into the ground artistically, just, you know, working for other people a lot, because all of that energy was, of course, benefiting others. It wasn't necessarily
kind of like assisting in their ventures. And not
I'm recreating their vision. Yeah. So for me,
that makes a lot of sense. So I see where you're at on that one.
Yeah. So it's been a process of evolving, and I started my caricature business because I was like, dude, like, I'm sitting up here drawing hundreds of people on a regular basis for this company, and they could fire me tomorrow. And it's the same with working any other place, whether it's working for I worked for GameStop. I worked for amusement parks other than Universal Studios. I worked for design firms. Oh, that's my cat. I'm sorry.
Yo, cat's got a cat, yo.
That's my baby. She's like 20 years old. And, like, I just felt frustrated because I'm like, I'm broke all the time. Like, I don't have anything, in my opinion, to show for all this hard work.
Makes sense.
That I'm doing. So, I kind of reached a point where I was like, I can do caricatures on my own. I can make my own comic in my spare time, my free time, and enjoy the process of being a creator without being stressed. Like, you know.
I feel you on that one. I feel you.
Yeah, like the deadlines and all of that stuff for someone else's books, or, you know, the constant revisions and dealing with client irritations, like, I don't like this and I don't like that and you need to fix this. Or like, there was times where I had clients, for example, where say I was working on a character design for them, which I don't do that for anyone anymore because of this, and they're like, I don't know, can you move the nose over like a little bit there in Photoshop, and maybe if you raise the eyebrow a tiny little bit. No, that's too much.
Yeah, I definitely understand the I understand the very the
it's like the they want
unquantifiable the varying. Unquantifiable revisions where, yeah, can we make it more blue? I don't, you know, it's hard to, I don't know what that means. Or like, what is a little bit, you know, what is, you know, but I will say in my journey as an artist, I've gotten people, most people used to print it out, even if it's just black and white, and write on it, or even stick figure it or whatever you can on top of it. Because move it to the left some is not really, so like, say if it's a square that you want to move to the left, just draw the square kind of like where you want it, and then that'll give me an idea. Because a lot of times you'll hear, you know, we want to move the paragraph down some, and I'm like, is that one line, two lines, three lines? What is some, and I mean, of course, without them knowing, they don't know how to be specific enough, especially when dealing almost completely digital. So it is, you know, I definitely understand where that comes from. Like, oh, can we make it red enough? Or can we use this red or that red? And I'm like, well, you asked me to use a red, but you sent me a gradient. So what side of the red are we using? Are we using the lightest side of this red? The, you know, the darkest side of this red? It's, you know, and just those type of things where it's like, sometimes it can be frustrating having to not only do the work and do the revisions, mm-hmm. but also slightly educate on like, okay, this is, you're not really, when you ask me something, you're not really specifying it for me to where I can even complete it properly.
Right.
And
that really started to, for me, it was hard on my self-esteem, because I think for me, it felt like they were judging my abilities as an artist to create what they wanted.
Makes sense.
You know? And all right, like, it wasn't good enough for them to constantly be changing, tweaking. And then they don't want to pay you for it. And they're not trusting, they're not being trusting that you know what you're doing, you know, yeah, as the creator. And they're dismissing your artistic vision. But if you're working on a comic, and here's the funny thing, is a person who's looking at that comic page, they're going to read that panel for less than 10 seconds, because they're reading the words, they're going to glance at the image and then they're going to move to the next one, you know?
Yeah. There is definitely, because I'm on the production art side of things. So I definitely understand what you mean by, like, I think that in me talking to a client, and I'll say this, sometimes we get bogged down in this, and I think that maybe you think that they'll spend more time looking at this than they really will. Now, they could sit and look at this for like 5-10 minutes, you know, sit on it overnight, get up with it, show their sister to see if, you know, or show their mom or whatever, or show their coworker what they think about it. But in most cases, they're going to read it and say, this looks nice, it's well put together, and move on.
The only one who's going to evaluate that
sometimes art. Sometimes it's better to get it done and out the door than working and toiling over it for weeks and you have nothing to show for it but one piece, when we could have sent, like, for instance, in my case, we could have sent this communication out and then said, cool, let's do, you know, 2.1 next week. And like, we could have sent out like 5 communications as opposed to one, because you may think that they read this more or they focus on it more or longer than they really do. And I try to communicate, like, when you get an email, any type of HTML email, how long do you spend reading it? How much time, like, you know, if it looks nice, it's like, oh, cool, this is nice, it's well put together, I like the colors, I like the, you know, typography. And, you know, I mean, they won't pick those things out, but their eyes will notice it, but they'll get the information they need and kind of go
on. Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is nice, this is real cool, all right, you it's know, not it's on you it's well. On Monday at 3 o'clock, cool, and that's it.
Well, it reminds me, my mentor, when I was studying animation, he actually worked for like Disney and some of the other companies, and he was telling about his experience working on the Chipmunks. Like, he was old school. Like, he'd been in the industry a long time. So, like,
word.
He's like old school traditional animator. So he's talking about, like, I don't know if you remember the old school Chipmunks movies, you know?
Yeah, I remember them.
And so he's like talking about how, you know, they're putting the movie together. And the people who were, of course, paying for the movie to be produced, like whatever the company was, they would sit down and look at every individual animation drawing and go,
oh, you mean every frame? Movie.
Yes.
Wow.
And go, that drawing, I don't know if you want to do that. I don't think you should put that one in.
It's like, okay, we're talking about, well, depending on how limited the animation is, we're talking about, like, yo, this is...
If you remember the animated movies for the Chipmunks, that was some beautiful animation.
No, like, what I'm saying is, regardless of how limited it is, you're talking about, like, a fraction of a second for this drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think it's hard for people to, like... It's like, I know you see this drawing, but this drawing is like, it's moving to another drawing. Like, this is in motion. So you're trying to snapshot what's really a motion. And it, like, I mean, we can spend time on this one drawing, but trust me, like, this drawing is on the screen for 0.5 seconds, you know? Mm-hmm. And wow, but yeah, I can see that. And sometimes it's because there are particular clients, extremely particular clients, or sometimes they just don't know. I've been involved with projects where everything seems all good. It's like, let's start over.
Yeah.
Let's take it from the top. It's like, we've already gone through like 5-6 rounds of revisions, and now we're going to the top, like, back to the to the tippy top,
right?
Like all the way to the beginning, because I'm on revision 5 or 6 thinking, we about done. Because usually what'll happen for people that don't do a lot of client work, what'll happen is your first draft will probably have like, say, 10 revisions. Then your next one will have, say, 7. The next will have 4. The next will have, because you're chiseling down to the final product. That's the idea. We got down to like 2 revisions and I'm like, cool, we about out of here.
And then let's start.
Then I get an email like, I get an email with like 18, 20 revisions. I'm like, we're essentially starting again. And I mean, I was just like, wow, okay, well, all right. Because when right? you're in that position, like, all you can do is say, all right. And well, that's all you can do is be like, well, okay.
They didn't like this, and that person over there in that committee decided they didn't like that, and so we got to make all the committee happy here. So
yeah, and that's that. I've stretched that too sometimes as well with dealing with like clients. Is, you know, it's probably best. I try to frame it. It's probably best to decide who will be the deciding voice. Because sometimes things, like you said, can get bogged down and there's 5 people. And, you know, there's 2 people like, yo, this is great. And the other 3 are like, they want to go 3 different directions. So now you're in limbo. This project is held up for months. And you're just sitting there like, we ever going to finish this?
Right.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I've definitely been that down that road. Now, Before my final question, I did want to ask you, please let the people know where they can find you.
Oh, so I have actually got 2 websites.
Nice.
I have a website for my personal comics, and that one is erimunroart.com. And then I also have my regular caricature website where you can see all the samples of the type of work I do for my caricature business, and that's drawlikecrazy.net.
Nice. All right, cool. So guys, definitely check her out there. And then on Instagram, what's your name? Because I know your name is different on Instagram, or it's different
on
in the
Instagram,
website.
I would just look up Ari Monroe, or you could look up Draw Like Crazy. Either one of those. I usually pop up under those 2 names. On Facebook, it's, I also have a Facebook page, that's Ari Monroe or Draw Like Crazy on either one of those. I do have Twitter, but I don't really post on there. But if you really want to be on my Twitter, it's Ari Monroe 2. if you want to join in for like the Facebook caricature stream, usually what I'll do is I'll make a post on my page and say, hey, anybody want to get a picture drawn, and post your picture under the in the comments, and people just put their picture there in the comments, or they can send me photos by email or by a messenger on Instagram. Like, I've had people message me there, or however they want to do it. You can just go straight to my website as well, and there's a contact page, and I will get your contact information from you that way, and then I sit down and stream on Facebook from 3 to 5 usually, Monday through Friday, and I take my weekends off, because one of the things that I have learned the hard way is you absolutely have to make time for yourself so that you don't get overwhelmed, and so that you're not giving all of yourself to everyone. So my weekends are for me, and I like to sit and watch movies and anime and Japanese romantic comedies.
That's great, because that leads me into my final question. In being independent, what's the thing that you do to kind of relax, or to recharge, if you will, with, you know, with all the work, with all the requests, things like that? How do you, you know, keep time for yourself? How do you kind of like recharge those batteries?
One thing that's become extremely important in my life, which I didn't used to make as much of a priority, is I like to go to the gym and work out. That's extremely, extremely important to me. Being able to exercise and also being able to kind of, like, there's also the chance for me to, like, hang out with other people, because being an artist is a very solitary life. You spend a lot of time at the drawing board, and one of the things that started to bother me as my career is progressing was, and part of the reason why I actually went into caricatures as my main source of income was because I actually really like being able to be out and have fresh air and talk to people and meet new people and have conversations with them about their lives and what they do with their lives and like who they are and what they're all about, you know, like I really enjoy that. And so as a caricature artist, it's like I always tell my customers, I'm like, it's like I'm speed dating, and they always laugh because for 5 minutes you sit in my chair and I talk to you about who you are and what you enjoy. And when I do that, you know, you laugh and you smile, and I draw who you are as you talk to me about who you are, and that comes out on the paper. So it's getting to have that little bit of interaction with the public and people out every single day that really kind of recharges me. Like I'm really missing doing comic book shows, because you meet some of the most odd characters there. So interesting, you know? And so my health is extremely important to me. I feel like I can't function in this world without good health, you know? Like, if my body is falling apart, I can't wake up and sit down at the drawing table. Like, some years ago, and I'm very serious about this, because a few years back, my mom passed away, and on her deathbed, she said to me, you know, she says to me, I wish I had taken better care of myself. Like, those were her words. Because she felt like she spent a lot of her life, you know, not doing for herself and giving herself what she needed to feel good. And when she didn't start doing it until she got much older, you know, when she passed, she was 73. And by then she had, you know, she previous to that was like 400 pounds. And she'd lost down to 169. And she was 73, so she couldn't enjoy it the way she would have been able to enjoy it if she'd been, you know, 30 or 40, you know, in her prime of her life, you know. Instead, she was, you know, struggling with just having good health and keeping her health good. She lost all this weight and she was really proud of herself, and she loved to buy clothing and dress up, but now she was 70, you know? So she was like, I wish I'd taken better care of myself, you know? And I really took that to heart. So, it wasn't that I didn't enjoy working out or exercise or doing healthy things before, because I did, but it became more of a priority. Because I knew I wanted to live and enjoy my life as much as possible. I like traveling and I'm on the road a lot. And actually being a caricature artist is extremely physical. When I work for some companies, I do airbrush caricatures. So I'm using an airbrush gun all day and I'm holding it like this the entire time. And I'm doing this. Yeah, and I'm doing that for like 10 hours. Or more, you know, with an occasional break to go use the restroom. So yeah, because it's literally some of those shows, when I'm at those shows, it's a person sits down and they get their drawing and then they stand up and the next person sits down immediately. So you know, and if you're like, I actually had a shoulder injury where I couldn't raise my arm because of the repetitive motion. You know, it was really painful. And when I started going to the gym and I was like lifting weights and stuff, the shoulder injury, it healed itself over time. So it actually went away. And I was dealing with like a little bit of tennis elbow and carpal tunnel in my fingers and stuff from the action of moving the airbrush like that, because there's like a little lever and you move it back and forth to spray out at different pressures, and you're like going like this and going like that the whole day. So my fingers would lock up in that position. I'd be like, oh my God. Like, I started going to a masseuse and getting hand massages and stuff so I could protect my hands. So that's actually really like, and then you're sitting a lot too. As an artist, you sit a lot. And if you're not careful, especially if you have really bad posture, you start to develop hip issues from sitting. So your hips will ache. And if you can develop arthritis in your hips and your lower back from hunching over the drawing table for long periods of time. So I'm like, in order for me to maintain being an artist, just
when I yeah, do, to be able to face, draw.
Yeah, to continue my passion, I have to be in excellent shape. And no one would ever think, man, you got to be in shape to draw for a living.
But yeah, because especially with that hunching over a lot, I try to check myself, even like whether I'm, you know, in Photoshop or Premiere or whatever. Like, I try to make sure, like, okay, I've been leaning over for a minute. Let me kind of like straight up and, you know, is
get up
try
and
to make sure that you like move around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to maintain your health if you want to keep doing this, you know, for a long time and keep, you know, bringing your A game. Because, yeah, your body will not like you if you continue to disregard its needs. So, yeah, that's extremely important to me as a creator. And it's also relaxing. Like, it relieves a lot of stress, you know. Like, drawing is fun, and it relieves stress when I'm drawing for myself. I draw my comics. But when I'm drawing for other people, it's stress. And so you get in the gym and you punch some punching bags and you scream really loud and throw some weights over your head and you leave out of there like, yeah, like you feel good. So that is what I do. That is what I do when it comes to having my downtime and just bringing balance into my life. So my whole life isn't just being an artist. I actually be like, I'm a person outside of that.
All right, good. And thank you for adding that in, you know, because there's a lot of people that need that. So with that said, thank you for hanging with us. Thank you for chilling and sharing your art with us, you know, during the whole time. Before we get out of here, is there anything that you want to, any last notes on just drawing in general, any, you know, pieces of wisdom to other artists or upcoming artists or anything like that?
I can't really say there is.
All right, cool. Well, look, there's been enough. So, of course, guys, holla at us. We'll holla at you. Down in them comments. Check out Ari. She's dope. She's got skills. You know what I'm saying? Going and get, you know, let the dollar circulate. You know, if you need to get your caricature on, holla at her. You know what I'm saying? No, you know, I'll see you. You know what? We could work out something really cool with like a stream or something. Yeah, I'll holla at you. So, guys, NERD, SOUL. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all them places. And from us to you, we say thank you for watching. And of course, peace.
All right. See you later. Bye.